under that anointing that is in this place this morning. We serve a great God. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. And there is nothing too hard for Him. Nothing too hard for Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. From the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning our reading with verse 18, and I'm reading several verses this morning. Please allow the Holy Spirit to open your hearts. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And from Romans 2, beginning with verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. And let me read that line again. For there is no partiality with God. Father, I thank you for the anointing upon your word, and I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. A fool once said, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. What a lie. Hell is full of believers who thought their way was a better way or the best way. But Jesus is the only way to the Father, to salvation, to heaven, and to peace in this world. Some people will tell you that there are four types of people in the world as it relates to the existence of God. There are atheists, and atheists are those who choose to disbelieve in the existence of God. There are agnostics, and agnostics are those who choose to believe that the existence of God is unknown or unknowable. The term agnostic was coined by Henry Huxley in 1869 based upon his belief that no scientific grounds exist for knowing or believing in God. The third type are heathens. They are those who don't care about the existence of God and choose not to worship and serve even if there is a God. And the fourth group or type is those who acknowledge the existence of God and choose to worship Him and serve Him. Now, the agnostic is perhaps the most hypocritical of the types because they pit science against faith in their reasoning about a lack of scientific evidence to prove the existence of God, when in fact scientists use faith all the time in their scientific studies. Scientists rely on faith to explain the existence of things they cannot prove, such as black holes or gravitational waves, even the term infinity. How do you improve scientifically infinity? How do you mathematically prove that which is not provable? Science cannot prove what instincts are. They can't prove what intuition is. They certainly cannot figure out what love is. Most of us are still trying to figure that out from time to time. But we all believe in those things. We can't scientifically prove what consciousness is, although sometimes I think I see you losing it while I'm preaching. But how can you scientifically prove that? You cannot. Science is more accurate in studying physical creation of God, rather than God's spiritual attributes. But in the physical world, we can't explain a number of things. They still can't explain how bumblebees fly. They can't explain where baby eels come from, because after years and years and years of studying, they've never seen eels mate, so they don't know how they get here. But we know they exist. You cannot use scientific method to prove or disprove what is metaphysical. Yet agnostics tend to hide behind their lack of faith in the faith card. Yet the whole theory of evolution that most of them believe in is based upon unprovable facts, a process that cannot scientifically be determined. In Romans chapter 1, God's word declares there is really only two types of people in the world: those who believe and worship and serve God, and those who are in rebellion against God. Those who believe and serve experience a supernatural peace. Any of you have experienced that? I hope you're experiencing it every day of your life, because it is a powerful gift that comes from believing in Almighty God. But those who are in rebellion against God, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God's word says that he has clearly revealed himself to all mankind. Within every one of us, there is a knowledge of God. But man has chosen to suppress the truth through their sinfulness and rebellion. All mankind inwardly know that God exists, and he says they are without excuse. Listen to what he says here. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile, which means vain, confused, or foolish, in their thoughts. Denying the truth, they accepted perverted logic, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The more we sin, the more perverted our thought process becomes. In verse 25, Paul writes, foolishly they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. How damaging is the statement of fact, they are without excuse? There's no one in this congregation this morning that's going to stand before God and say, but I didn't know. In fact, God says there's no one on the planet that is going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Even though we are charged with taking the gospel to the entire world, God has put within every human being a God hunger, a God thirsting, a God desire. And it's only because of our desire for selfishness and sin that we suppress the truth that God has put in every one of us. I've been here long enough to see some of you as adults when you were children. And as children, I'd see you dance before the Lord and worship and praise God and magnify the Lord. And it wasn't because we were doing such a great job in Christian education, although we do a great job. But it's because in the very heart of you, I mean, who of you have not seen children begin to dance and worship God when Christian music is begin to play? In fact, children, by their very nature, are designed to be worshipers. And they will grow up to either worship God or worship something else, but they are going to be worshipers. Do you realize that? All of us are worshipers. It, what matters is who we are worshiping, because we all worship someone or something. They are without excuse, for they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful to God, and became fools. Now, I want to remind you that Paul was writing to Roman Christians these words. In verses 18 through 32, we recognize that failing to glorify God and failing to be thankful to God will lead to perversion and wickedness. In this text, we often focus on sexual perversions because it lists some of them there. But the Bible lists all kinds of inappropriate behavior in regards to the stewardship of the lives that God has given us. All sin is rebellion, and all sin is deserving of death. The very reason that Jesus came and died was to pay the price of sin so that we would no longer be bound by sin, but to be free of sin. And there are some who think that he only paid for the eternal consequences of sin, but in fact, he died so that we can be set free from the bondage of sin in this world, as well as enjoy the blessings of his presence in the world to come. If you struggle with some kind of sexual perversion, and the Spirit told me that there would be some here this morning who are, God can deliver you from that futility. However, this morning, I want you to understand that the reality is that someone can grow up in the church and be active in the church and still not have a personal relationship with God. In fact, the other day, I heard the testimony of one of the Philadelphia Eagles who is a Christian. And he said he grew up in church and he believed in God all of his life. But he said it wasn't till about a year ago that he actually had a personal relationship with Christ. And he said that changed everything. Out of his mouth, he said, God put us here to make disciples. And that is more important than winning Super Bowls. And I'm going, yes! He gets it! Amen. But we can be a part of the body of Christ in the sense of belonging to a church and being full of religious activity and yet not really acknowledging God in our life or being thankful for what he's done for us. How is that possible? Well, it is possible because I've seen it happen. We have no excuse because within us, God has given us this desire to know him and to be a worshiper and to serve him. And if we have been born again, then we certainly have no excuse because the Holy Spirit is living in us, wooing us and drawing us into this love relationship with Christ. But I found that in spite of the fact that the Holy Spirit may be living in us, we can ignore his presence, we can ignore God, we can go through our life acting as though God doesn't exist until we have an emergency. Hello? They used to say there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, sometimes we can be a part of the church and still neglect our relationship with God. And in Hebrews, the Bible says, how shall they escape if they not reject, but if they neglect so great a salvation? What does it mean to glorify God? Well, one of the perfect examples of that is found in 1 Corinthians 16. And I don't have time to read it all to you this morning, but let me just give you the highlights. This is when the Ark of the Covenant comes back to Israel. You remember when David danced before the Lord as they brought in the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it into the tabernacle of God, and David wrote this song, and it was a song to encourage people to glorify God. And this is what he says: give thanks to the Lord, make known his deeds among the people. We're glorifying God. Sing to him. How many of you sing to the Lord? Okay, it's dark in here. In fact, turn the lights on. I'd like to see. I want to make sure we still have consciousness. Turn the lights up, please. Thank you. Turn the rest of the lights up. Thank you. We will have consciousness here eventually. Thank you. Sing to him. Let me ask the question. How many of you sing to the Lord? How many of you sing even though you don't consider yourself a singer? Amen. My wife and I have a running joke because when we first started dating, there was a preacher trying to hook her up with a singer. And somehow the communication got a little messed up. It came out that she was going to marry a preacher and not a singer. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I sing. And she said, yeah, you do. But that's all the other guy could do was sing. God puts within us a song. Again, you see it in our children. They're growing up. We got a children's choir here, and man, didn't they do a fantastic job last week? Amen. They were awesome. I love to hear children sing. I love to watch children sing because it always blesses my heart, because there is this innate worship ability in them that they're like me. They don't stand still. They're doing this, or they're doing that, or they're doing this, or they're doing, you know, and they can't stand still. Well, you know, I don't know that God created us to stand still and be quiet. That's what our parents used to tell us in church. Just be still and be quiet. No. God put it within us, life. And a part of our natural being is to respond to the presence of God and to worship Him. Talk about His wondrous works, David says. Give honor to His name. Seek His face. Not just His hand, not just His blessings, but seek His face. Remember His works. We're glorifying God when we just begin to meditate upon the things that God has done for us. I have found in life that when we begin to reminisce about past blessings, you know, it can be past blessings in my marriage or past blessings with my children, but especially past blessings from the Lord. I am encouraged, but what I found out is that God loves to hear us talk about what He's done. He loves to hear us talk about His word and talk about His reality and His witness. Proclaim His salvation from day to day. Give Him honor. Bring Him an offering. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Praise Him, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. David was instructing the people on how to glorify God. And Paul says if we don't glorify Him, we're in big trouble. We glorify God by acknowledging His existence. Do we believe He exists? Well, the Bible said there is no faith unless we believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We acknowledge Him by acknowledging His existence, by acknowledging His sovereignty. He's either God or He's not. We glorify Him by acknowledging His suffering. He died for us. And yet through that suffering, He has become our sufficiency. There's no problem that you have that's bigger than the God who created you. And He loves you. We acknowledge Him and glorify Him by acknowledging His mercy and compassion upon us. I want to tell you, there's times when I have to remind myself that God loves me, even in times when I'm unlovable, even at times when I've either rejected Him or failed Him or done things that I know is unacceptable. His love doesn't stop. His love doesn't stop. His love doesn't stop. But like I've said so many times, hell is full of people that God loves. He never stops loving us, which is why He keeps giving us opportunities to have a right relationship with Him. His love provides the door through which we can come into the presence of the King, the Lord, our God. His mercy in our lives is what we should be thankful for every single day of our lives. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all our blessing because He is our blessing. It's not because we have all of this stuff in this world, because all of this stuff will turn to dust. Our blessing is Him. He is our life. He is our strength. He is our blessing. He is our joy. He is our peace in the midst of the storm. Because we know Him, we can be at peace. We also must recognize that he will not allow rebellion to go unpunished or obedience to go unrewarded. If we do what is right, there is a blessing inherent in that. If we don't do what is right, then there is judgment inherent in that, because all sin is rebellion against God. The judgment of God is according to truth, the Bible says in Romans 2. The judgment of God is according to truth, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, wrath. With God, there is no partiality. If you're in a right relationship with him, that is great. But if you're living in deception, that is terrible. He clearly says tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good. That's not my gospel, that's his gospel. That's his word. That's his truth. Glory. What is the glory that we get? It's the glory of becoming like Christ. What is the honor? The honor is the privilege of knowing him and serving him and serving his creation, our fellow man. What is peace? It is that comfort that comes through obedient trust in God's love for us. My daughter, who comes up on weekends to minister here, has been walking around the house for a few weeks singing a song called Reckless Love. And our worship team is learning that song. And I turned it on the other day to actually listen to it for the first time. And I didn't think I'd ever heard it. But then when I started listening to it, I realized, oh yeah, that my daughter's been singing that for 2 or 3 weeks. Reckless love. Because I believe, I get to experience reckless love. Because I acknowledge not only the existence of God, but the sovereignty of God and the sufficiency of God, I experience a peace that no one and nothing can take from me. No one can steal it from me. No heartache, no difficulty, no circumstance, no tribulation, no trial can cheat me from the love of God. Because I believe. I know that sounds simple, but it's powerful. If we believe, then we will experience a peace that surpasseth all understanding in this world. But if we do not seek to honor and obey him, then truly we're living in unbelief. Because why would we deliberately be in rebellion against God unless we thought we could get away with it? You may get away with it in your home. You may get away with it in the church. You may get away with it at school. You may get away with it in the world. But no, God's not partial. He's not going to just bless you just because you're a part of a group or a body or a church or a family. I declare the blessings of God on my family to the third and fourth generation just about every day. But I also know that they have a responsibility to walk in that blessing, to walk in Christ. They can choose to walk away and experience heartache, or they can choose to walk in Christ and experience a power that is greater than any power on the face of the earth, and that is the peace of God in your heart. And when we're not living right, when we're not doing right, then we lose that sense of peace. Because we know that we're convicted by sin.
And I know that there's people in this world that, oh, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in this and that. But God says, let all men be liars and let God be true. He said, no, they're just suppressing the truth. It's amazing. My sister-in-law's daughter's husband, and he has never been a Christian. And because her parents got saved after she had become an adult, she's never been a Christian. But the other day when he found out he had esophageal cancer, he started asking for prayer. Would you pray? I want to tell you, inside all of us, there is a God reality. And we can suppress it because we don't want to think about judgment, but it's there. And the choices you make will determine whether you enjoy the blessing of peace in your life or you keep struggling. Because if you put your life unreservedly in God's hands, you have nothing to fear. Death itself cannot steal from you the peace of God. I know that from God's word, and I know that because I've been at the bedside of a lot of saints of God who have died, and the peace in those rooms is, it's unbelievable from a human point of view. I've been in quite a few hospital rooms where people were just worshiping God and praising God and glorifying God. And you say, how can you be doing that at a time like this? Well, because we know that even death cannot win or defeat us. Our victory is in Christ. But we make the choice. We either accept the truth or we suppress it. If we accept it, we are blessed by our belief in Him. If we suppress it, then we will struggle our entire life to be happy and to be contented and to be fulfilled, because nothing in this world will bring you that peace that God had determined would only come from His presence. Would you bow your heads in prayer for just a moment, and would the worship team come onto the platform? Heavenly Father, there is a peace that passeth understanding. There is a peace that enables us to be victorious even when we're in a struggle or in a battle. Even when we have failed You, there is a peace that says, You've not given up on us. You're still calling us. You're still wooing us. Great are You, Almighty God. And Your blessing is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray that You will minister to every person in this congregation this morning, to those that are battling perversions in their life, for those who are battling substance abuse, to those who are struggling with emotional scars and pain, there is healing because You're no respecter of persons. Whosoever will that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your word declares it. And for those who are walking in the fruit of Your Spirit and enjoying Your blessing, God, how can we ignore? How can we fail to be thankful and to give You the glory that You deserve? You are worthy of all praise. And we choose to praise You this morning. Amen. I want our prayer elders to come forward quickly and stand before this congregation. And our worship team is going to sing and lead us in worship again. And if you have a need from the Lord, whatever that need may be, I'm going to invite you to come now and allow these elders to minister to you. Your need may be
physical healing. It may be spiritual healing. I don't know what your need is. I do know that there's some people here that God has specifically spoken to this morning by His Spirit and by His Word. And there is victory for you if you will choose it.